My message today is the self-serving benefits of being outwardly loving. So, here's the thing about love. It is hard to fully put into words what love is. Love causes us to experience emotions from agony to ecstasy. It can cause us to accomplish some of the most amazing things, and equally it can cause us to sort of stagnate. Love makes you happier than you ever have been. It makes you sadder than you ever have been, and sometimes even angrier than you ever have been. It can elate you, and it can deflate you. And sometimes, both within seconds of each other. We could probably sit here and list off the emotions associated with love for just the rest of the hour, but finding the words to explain those feelings is finding the words to describe what love is, and it can be difficult at best. So, I would like to ask, is there anyone here who would like to take a shot at giving us a definition of love? It would help me out a lot going forward if someone would. No, not so much. Well, the Greek playwright Sophocles said that one word frees us from all the weight and pain of life. That word is love. And while that is quite lovely, it certainly doesn't get us any closer to an actual definition of love. I do like the definition of love that comes from Hindu monk Radhaswami, who said, definition of love, capacity to forgive endlessly. But I feel like that still needs a little bit of work. Hugo Award-winning author Robert A. Heinlein says, love is a condition in which the happiness of another person is essential to your own, which does seem like it's getting a little bit closer to me. Ultimately, though, I think that psychiatrist Harry Stack Sullivan of the University of Chicago may have given one that comes the closest for me right now. He says, when the happiness, security, and well-being of another person is as real or more to you than your own, you love that person. Basically, love, in his estimate, is grounded in personal meaning and inclines us to action. When we love others, we feel that their happiness, security, and well-being matter to us greatly. And our actions then should communicate that feeling, that understanding. Now, most religions encourage its adherents to not only practice that kind of love with those who are near and dear to them, but also to practice it with all of humanity. Now, presumably, this is in order to create, well, a better world to live in, one that's more godly and practices a deep appreciation for and valuing of life. And by my estimates, if we could all learn to truly love all of humanity, if happiness, security, and well-being of others motivated each of our actions, we certainly would have much closer to what the Christian tradition considers heaven on earth. But for the remainder of today, I want to consider what Sophocles may have been trying to get at when he said, one word frees us from the weight and pain of life. That word is love. You see, I don't think that he was saying it frees others from the pain of life. I think that he was saying it frees us from the pain of life. Or it frees those who practice love from the weight and pain of life. First, a little object lesson in the form of a brief story. Once upon a time, a psychology professor walked around on the stage while teaching a class on stress management principles to an auditorium just filled with students. And she raised up a glass of water, and everyone expected that they'd get the typical, is it half full, is it half empty kind of question. But instead, with a little smile on her face, she says, the professor said, how heavy is this glass of water that I'm holding? Well, students shouted out answers from like 8 ounces to a couple of pounds. And she replied, you know, from my perspective, the absolute weight of this glass doesn't matter. It depends on how long I'm holding it. If I hold it for a minute or two, it's fairly light. If I hold it for an hour straight, it might make my arm ache a little bit. If I hold it for a day straight, my arm will likely cramp up and feel completely numb and paralyzed, forcing me to drop the glass on the floor. In each case, the weight of the glass doesn't change. But the longer that I hold it, the heavier that it feels to me. You know, as the class shook their heads in agreement, she continued, your stress and your worries in life are much like that glass of water. Think about them for a while and nothing much really happens. Think about them a little bit longer and you begin to ache a little bit. Think about them all day long and you will feel completely numb and paralyzed, incapable of doing anything else until you drop. So, how does love of others, as Sophocles said, free us from the weight and the pain of life? How are we changed when we extend active love to others? Well, for one, when we are highly engaged with the well-being of another person, we are somewhat freed from the preoccupation with self and its problems, with worrisome contemplations and with other destructive emotions. Disappointment and betrayal in life are ultimately unavoidable. And when we get sucked down into them, we start experiencing a harmful spiral of bitterness, despair, resentment. Simple acts of kindness can actually transform us emotionally away from those kinds of perspectives. It's even said that if you don't feel happy, smile anyway, and happiness will likely follow. And while that honestly does sound a little overly simplistic, it turns out that it was a real point of curiosity for psychologists during the 70s and 80s. And time again, their studies suggested actually that smiling, even if you aren't feeling happy, does indeed bring with it feelings of happiness. And I challenge anyone to help another person out of love and not find yourself smiling about it. Showing love to others also has the self-serving benefit of making life a little more interesting. Quite frankly, over time, full selfishness is nothing but boring. When we seek the happiness, security, and well-being of another, the world becomes more full and more engaging. Sir John Templeton actually once wrote that it is impossible to be bored if you love your neighbor. Loving others also gives us reasons to develop our personal gifts. Students learn more when they are asked to tutor younger peers and when they're in learning groups where they're responsible for teaching the group part of what they are trying to study. The reality is that many extraordinary people in this life have fine-tuned their talents in the service of other people. Additionally, when we spend more time expressing our love to others, not surprisingly, we make deeper friendships. Our friends are no longer just folks that we hang out with, but they're the ones with whom we have a deep sense of connection and a fuller appreciation for. and difficult times in life, I suspect that we all could use more of those kinds of friendships. Loving others is also a source of hope, because as we use our strengths and our gifts and our talents to make a difference in other people's lives, we begin to have a greater confidence in our ability to shape the future. And not just in their future, but in our own. Not so surprisingly, outwardly loving others is also a source of joy. Happiness is to joy as optimism is to hope. Just as being optimistic makes us more hopeful people, practicing happiness makes us more joyful people. And I'd wager that you would be hard-pressed to not find yourself being happy as you see the positive impact that sharing your love has on another person. And as we practice being more outwardly loving and gaining the benefits of letting go of the stresses of life, of finding happiness, love, and joy, of having deeper relationships, we shouldn't be surprised to learn that it also will have a positive impact on our physical well-being. Literally, hundreds of scientific studies have been done in the connection between emotional well-being and physical well-being. And time after time, they have found that positive psychological attributes such as happiness and optimism and satisfaction in life have a significant impact on a person's physical well-being. Now, just to back some of these benefits up with a few numbers, United Healthcare and a group called Volunteer Match did a survey titled Do Well, Live Well. In it, they found that 41% of Americans volunteered an average of 100 hours a year. Of those people, 68% reported that volunteering made them feel more physically healthy. But there's more than that, actually. 89% reported that volunteering has improved my sense of well-being. 73% said that volunteering lowered my stress levels. 92% said that volunteering enriched their sense of purpose in life. 72% characterized themselves as optimistic compared to 60% of non-volunteers. 42% of volunteers reported a very good sense of meaning in their lives compared with 28% of the non-volunteers. And 96% said volunteering made them feel happier. All of them also reported deeper friendships, sleeping better, and other benefits as well. Another interesting and related fact. An Alcohol Anonymous study showed that helping other alcoholics at a robust level, this is a kind of an amazing statistic, helping other alcoholics at a robust level nearly doubled the recovery rate in the year after initially going dry. Those helping the others also experienced a decrease in depression. Some folks worry all too much about whether helping other people, outwardly sharing their love with them, will be reciprocated. Considering all of the benefits that come from sharing your love, I'd say it's a somewhat silly concern. And anyway, if we're only sharing love in hopes of having it reciprocated, is it truly a fully loving action? I'm not sure if we'll ever have the perfect definition of love, but I do think that we continue to have a fuller understanding of the impact of love. And I think one such understanding is a good way to conclude this reflection. It comes from author Oliver Wendell Holmes, who simply said, "Love is the master key that opens the gates of happiness." Who would like to share their thoughts on the benefits of outwardly sharing love? Thoughts or stories or questions, David? I know David had his hand up.
All right, thank you. I want to thank both of you for your quotes, because I think your quote did fit well with,
yes, it did.
with Mark's. Yeah. And it was thinking about love as being a positive thing, kind of a lightness to your being, as compared to your analogy with the water. You're carrying around negative emotions or hatred that it weighs you down physically so that you're, mm-hmm. you're destroyed mm-hmm. eventually. So that's another way of thinking. Love is the opposite of being destroyed.
Mm. Are there others?
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Some of your definitions came real close to the definitions that I've given to my daughter when I tell her love is an action verb. It requires action, just as maybe to run or to jump requires action. Love requires action.
Absolutely.
Vance, I got in late, Mark, so I didn't hear your message, but hearing what Susan Andreotta just said reminds me of Nell Hedrick, who used to attend this, was a member of this congregation. And before she died, she gave me a little sort of faux stained glass thing that I have in my window in my living room that said, "One may give without loving, but one may not love without giving."
I love that. That's great. Others who'd like to share.
This is Caroline. You're talking about smiling. I was with a friend recently, and I must have had a rather glum expression on my face, my mouth turning down at the end. And she said, So how's your breathing today? I said, fine. So she said, try this. See what happens when you smile. So I put on, and she said, even if it's a fake smile. So I put on a fake smile. And I could breathe better. So if that's true for you, smiling is physiologically good for you.
Nice. Thank you. Others?